There are those who don't want to sacrifice. And I'm going to tell you flat out, as straight as...
Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
I can. I believe the kingdom is a lifestyle of sacrifice because God's word, he modeled that through his action 2,000 years ago, that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. This whole Christ thing, this whole Christ, following Christ, is a lifestyle of sacrifice. It's not comfort. It's not what I like most. I love talking to people when they're talking about they're looking for a new church. Well, you know, I don't want him to yell when he preaches. I don't like, you know, when they're yelling at us. And I'm like, okay, no, I know everybody has a different style of teaching. And I get that. And I love every style of teaching, by the way. Gone to sleep in a few. But I really love every style of teaching. I really do, because they're bringing the gospel. I'm just going to be real with you guys. Yeah, I'm serious. There's been a few that snored you to death, right? It's okay. But somebody got it. That needed to get it that day. So was it wrong? You know? Was it wrong? No, they're bringing the gospel. Hey, Paul bored a guy so bad after preaching for 6 hours, he fell asleep, he was actually killed, fell out of the window, he bored him to death, runs around the building, prays over him, raises him from the dead, brings him back up, sticks him back in the window, and keeps preaching. That's Paul. He's not worried if you, he even admits, I'm a terrible speaker. He had an awareness that he didn't have a good voice for public speaking. And I don't know that he was all about, hey man, how are you? I love it. I got security up here, man. I didn't know that. Yeah, that's it. Thank you. But there are people that don't want to sacrifice. Watch me. It's okay. Come back to me. They don't. Here we go. They don't want to sacrifice, but they want to follow the King who sacrificed everything. The example of Christ is a continual life of sacrifice. The disciples, did you know that each of them were martyred? And the early church fathers taught, though it's not actually spoken straight this way in the Bible, they actually taught that Peter was hung upside down because he was not deserving to be crucified in the same way that his Lord was. He wasn't dignified enough. He wasn't deserving of such a tribute. But the whole Christian thing, it's a life of sacrifice. And I can't think of anyone who was put in more of a position to sacrifice, or especially early. You'll find it really early in the Bible. It's actually in the book of Genesis. And it is Abraham himself. He was tested by God in chapter 22 of the book of Genesis. Turn there if you would. And we're just going to read through this, and then I'm going to give you a few notes that I want you to write down. If you're not a note writer, put it in your phone, because I really believe there are some important things that we can discover in this story of sacrifice. And I just want to just ask God that you will open our eyes to what it is you want us to see in this about ourselves. Because I believe that your word still breathes life. I believe that your word is alive today, and it brings life today, and it brings revelation today. And that each of us would walk out of this building today saying, I got something I have never had before of the knowledge of who God is. In Jesus' name. Amen. Book of Genesis chapter 22. If you don't have a Bible, but you do have a cell phone, take the time to Google the book of Genesis chapter 22. It'll get you right there, I promise you. And look for the NIV or look for the King James, whichever you choose. Phones don't bother me. I'm just entertained if I see somebody on this side texting somebody on that side. That's entertaining to me at times, but phone Bibles don't bother me at all. Genesis chapter 22. It says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. By the way, Abraham is God's man. by this time. He is God's man. He speaks directly to God. And God speaks directly to Abraham. This is in the day that God's voice was, it was not uncommon for prophets to hear, actually hear, the audible voice of God. Moses did. Moses heard the audible voice of God. So it is not uncommon. And so this says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, and I've shared this with you before, my take on this. And Abraham says, here I am. Now I'm going to tell you what, if I ever hear the voice of God from heaven, and he says, Barry, first of all, after I get up off the floor and come conscious again, I'm going to have to hear it again to know that I've actually heard the voice. I think I'd faint. I think I would fall to my knees at least unable to speak. Seriously. He says, sometime later he says, here I am, Lord, he replied. And then God said, now instead of him saying, you can tell it's this common conversation for God. Because the conversation goes right into back and forth. What are you doing talking to me? He already knows his father that well that they have an intimate relationship. By the way, God still speaks to me personally every day of my life. Every moment, every second, God is still speaking. They didn't have this. In fact, God spoke it so that we could have it. We're the benefactors of the early conversations that God had with the early prophets and the great men and women of God. We're the benefactors. He spoke it and later inspired the disciples to write it and the apostle Paul to write it so that others would be having the benefit. Moses wrote the first four books of the Bible so that we would have record of what God said to man. And people today are wondering why God doesn't speak. He does. He already has. One time God told me to do something, and I did it. And Gina, and between the two of us, we worked the timing out. It was to start St. Charles River Church. And God told us to do it. We believe God spoke that into our spirits. It took a couple of years to develop it. But God spoke that, even the name of the church, God spoke into my spirit. And after a couple of years, Gina was the timing. She was the clock. God used the Spirit of God, used her as the clock for the timing of this, but gave me the direction for exactly what needed to take place. And several years later, I have this opportunity to go do this ministry, and I've told many of you the story. I was in Belfast, and I'm praying, God, what's the direction you want me to take here? And this is what God spoke to me in my spirit. What's the last thing I told you to do? And I said, that's enough water on my face, Lord. Go back and do what I told you to do. And I came back. I called Gina from Belfast, 6-hour difference. Woke her up. I was heading to the airport and I said, this is what the Lord said. She said, that's exactly what God said to me. It's exactly what God said to me. Listen, here we go. He said, here I am. He replied. Then he said, take your son, your only son. What story does that sound familiar to? Take your son, your one and only son, whom you love. It's prophetic words of what's going to take place, by the way, with the Son of God, the only begotten Son. It says, then take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. And God recognizes that he has deep emotion for Isaac, and go to the region. If you read this story without realizing it's a father that's in anguish, you're missing something in the story. He is truly in anguish over this. God even recognizes from heaven his love. He knows all of our hearts, and he knows if he really loves his son or not. And even God declares, you love your son. Sacrifice, he says, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Now take a deep breath there. Did you hear what God just told a man to do? To sacrifice his only son. By the way, he's not recognizing the fact that Abraham had a son prior to that. You remember the story. There's actually, when Abraham and Sarah decided to do it their way, he had a son before Isaac. But this is what God is saying. This is the son I recognize because I told you about him. He says, take him to the mountain I will tell you about. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of the servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there." Now listen to what he says. I want you to underline it if you have your Bibles. He said, "We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Now understand something. God told him, "You're going to go up and slay this boy." But you see, he knew his father incredibly well. He knew his father incredibly well. God had already promised him, remember what I said about promises, God had already promised him that through Isaac, the world would be blessed and that the generations would be beyond number. He had already promised him this before Isaac was born. And so this is Abraham looking into the eyes of his father and trusting. This is the ultimate trust that any man could ever show to his heavenly father. He looks at him with, we don't know if he blinked an eye. We don't know what conversation took place because it's not written. We only know he took action. You see, he chose to do what God said because he trusted God. He said, Abraham said, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go up and over there. We will worship and we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife as the two of them went up together. Isaac spoke up and he said, "Father, Abraham, father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide." Did he say God has already provided? He didn't say God has already provided. He said future tense. The Hebrew is a future tense word. God will provide. He said will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. He himself will do so. And the two of them went on together. Then they reached the place. Now you got to understand, God still told him to kill this boy. God still told him to sacrifice this boy. So he is acting in total obedience, though his trust says, but God had promised his future to me. God's already promised, but he said, I'm going to do whatever God tells me to do because this is the God that raises from the dead. So I don't know what all went through his mind, but I can tell you I'm a father, and I can tell you I'm already struggling with the story. How about you, parents? Verse 9, when they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. And he bound his son Isaac. Why? Because he was kicking and screaming. "What are you doing, Dad?" You got to know. I mean, he didn't crawl up on it. He bound him so he couldn't get off of the fire. He said when they reached the place, he said he built the altar and there arranged the wood. And he bound Isaac and laid him on the altar on the top of the wood. Verse 10, then he reached out his hand, took the knife to slay his son. His full intent was to slay this boy and not understand what God was thinking. He didn't understand what God, there's no doubt in my mind he didn't understand what God was thinking. But he took the knife out. He was going to slay Isaac before he sacrificed him. He said then he reached out and he took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "I am here." Now, can you imagine the tears that are flowing out of Abraham's eyes and the heaving that's going on as he's hearing that boy cry, "Daddy, don't do this. No, Daddy. No, Daddy. No, Daddy." I mean, he's not laying there going, "Go ahead, Daddy." Let's just get real about this. This is a tormenting moment for Abraham and for Isaac. Can you imagine the heaving tears that would take place as a father is about to put a knife through his son to sacrifice him? A boy calling out, "Perhaps, perhaps." I love to get a little extra biblical because they don't record a lot, but can you imagine, "Daddy, I love you, don't do this." Sometimes I've just felt like there were things God asked me to do and I was like, "God, that's too much to ask. That's too much to ask. I can't believe you asked that of me. But that's too much to ask." And I just want to share some things with you at the end of this story that I think will bring some perspective to that, because I believe God gave them to me. And if they're not for you, they are for me. But I wanted to share with you. He said, then he reached out his hand and he took, and the angel cried out, "Abraham." And he said, "I am here." And do not lay a hand on the boy. He said, do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear the Lord because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up and there in the thicket he saw a ram. Remember the words he spoke? God will provide the lamb. He goes on to say, it was caught by its horns. He went over and he took the ram, sacrificed it on the burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place. From that day on, the Lord will provide, Jehovah Jireh. That mountain was declared to be Jehovah Jireh. It's Hebrew for the Lord will provide. And to this day, it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Can I just give you this? Always remain on the mountain of the Lord. Because when you're on the mountain of the Lord, it's the destination He brought you to. Wherever that is, wherever you are in your life, always remain on the mountain of the Lord. Because wherever you are, if He brought you there, it was a holy appointment. It was a holy destination. It was a place of revelation and teaching for you and I to never be the same again. And maybe your mountain of the Lord was a hospital bed, Dave, next to Vera as she was taking treatments. Maybe that's the mountain of the Lord where you guys really, I don't know, you've never told me that, but I can imagine some of the prayers that you guys were praying in the presence of God as you guys were going through that together. And I know, Chaplain Earl, when you lost your bride, your beautiful bride, and you'd sit there and go, God, I can't do this. I cannot do this. I cannot imagine another day without her. Pastor Harvey, when you had to let go of Jean that day, this is that moment where you're on the mountain of the Lord where it takes more trust than you've ever had. You've never had to trust Him to this magnitude, and yet, because it's the place that God brought you to, you can be assured of this. It may be miserably wretched, and the tears may seem they're never going to stop. But always remain on the mountain of the Lord. Wherever His presence is your mountain. And in those worst moments, that's where you can be assured He will meet you there. And He, listen to the rest of this story. I'm going to wrap it up here real quick. He says, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time, and he said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars. He's repeating his promise. He's reiterating his promise that Abraham was holding on to the whole time because he knew his daddy really well. He knew his heavenly father, and he was holding on to the promise that somehow, even if I slay this boy, you're going to bring him back to me because you made promises about him. And only when you're on the mountain of the Lord can such faith be displayed. Because if we run from the things He asks of us, we will never have opportunity to know the intimacy of our Father's providing Jehovah Jireh in our lives. He said, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of cities of their enemies. And through the offspring, all nations of the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Then Abraham returned to his servants and they set off back to explain the whole thing to Sarah. You what? You were gonna what? By the way, this is just, I'm gonna give you some points here, but this isn't one of the points. If I am Isaac, I am walking 10 feet behind him the rest of my life. I will keep him in my vision about 10 feet distance the rest of my life. I don't know what Isaac's relationship was quite like after that, but I'm going to keep an eye on him. If he's the guy that did that to me, I'm going to keep an eye on him. That's just me. But I want to give you a couple things that I want you to write down that I believe when something seems so overwhelming and you don't see a point to it, I want you to grab these if you would, because I wrote them down. Don't be surprised if God brings you to the provision instead of bringing it to you. You see, Abraham had to go up on the mountain of the Lord. That's where God provided the miracle. And so Abraham's obedience brought him to the very provision that would save his son's life. Obedience is greater than sacrifice. It truly is. Obedience is greater than sacrifice. God wants to see, and by the way, it's not because he knows whether we're going to obey him or not. He knows all things. It's really about us learning the habit of obedience. But don't be surprised if God brings you to the provision instead of the provision to you. Oftentimes we want to lay there and go, God, I need you to show me what you're going to do. How many times? I'm telling you, there were times as we were planning St. Charles River Church, God, I don't have a clue. Do you know if I had seen this building in the earliest visions of my dreams, if I had seen this, I might have said, I don't want to ever build that kind of building. That's a lot of work. That's a lot of decisions when they're pointing things at me and saying, now on these blueprints, 4,000 pages of blueprints that look like a roadmap in Russia to me, because I don't have a clue where anything is. They're saying, do you want 3 bars over here or 2 bars so that it doesn't cut the what? And I'm like, just put enough bars. I'm whatever it takes, do it. I brought you in because you're the specialist. Don't ask me how many bars. If I have to be involved in that decision, I need another person who can make decisions about the bars. I mean, there were things, but God brought me to here and brought us to here so that we could do the next step by going there. There is no destination except Jesus. It isn't a building. I promise you, on the day of the rapture of the church, we will never pay rent again. We will break the contract. And they'll think we're scoundrels because we're breaking the contract. That church took off. They broke their word, and that pastor said they would make every payment. Maybe we should... No, I won't say. I won't go there. But I promise, because God is that faithful, one day he's going to show us the destination never was 810 Westwood. Let me start out. It never was Independence Elementary School. It never was Bush Wildlife Parks that we met in. It never was Wild Horse or Wapple Horse, whatever the name of that park was, that we met in and sweated to death that couple of Sundays. It never was about that. It was never about 810 Westwood Industrial Park. And it's still not about the next destination. It's still about Jesus. Christ is our destination. In him alone will we rejoice, not a location. And so when I hear others say, we'll come back when we get our real church again, you're missing it. It's Jesus is the issue. Jesus is the issue. Come and worship the one who is worthy of worship. And it's not about the building. And you know what? I could care less if those lights go out. I mean, the truth is, we know how to... We've tried to tell them what to do to make them come on, but we don't own the building anymore, so they can do whatever they want. They can. They own the building. We're going to respect it. We're going to take care of it just like it was still ours. Secondly, let me give you this. God may have required Abraham to bring Isaac to see the miracle for himself. You see, we're teaching our children, right? Sometimes you would bring... I love the fact that Mike Bowie, actually Pastor Mike, has his family involved in the ministry on this platform. I love that. That's an amazing example of father raising up a son to be a part of worship, to be a part of exalting Christ through the gifts that he's given you. I love when I see people bring children along. I know this is one of those things that pastors have to get over. I love when I see Sean take Owen up onto the drums and little Owen's up there. Listen, we'll buy new drums. Seriously, I don't want anything unsafe going on the platform, because there's big wires up there, lots of voltage. But I really love when our children are not yelled at for doing something. I love that they believe this is fun. Maybe Isaac, or maybe Abraham had to take Isaac up there. Maybe that was, I don't know. Can you imagine God saying, I want to build faith in Isaac. I want him to see my hand deliver him. Can you think about that? Maybe it wasn't just what Abraham was to catch. Third, expect a miracle. We will come back to you. He was speaking a miraculous statement. Expect a miracle. But the boy and I, we're going to come back to you. We will go worship, but we will come back to you. Expect God to show up with the provision in a miracle form. always, number four, always remain, is what I've already told you, on the mountain of the Lord. Wherever He sends you, go there. Because that's where you will see the hand of God. And He will deliver you. And by the way, I love the fifth thing that God gave me. Your obedience will bring favor upon your children and your children's children. And your children's children's children. Because that was what God was showing to Abraham. Your obedience doesn't just bless you. It doesn't just bless Sarah. Your obedience will bless your children. Your obedience will bless your children's children. There's a lineage of blessing that's going to take place because you obeyed the Father. When He says do it and you do it, your children are going to sit there and say, no, Isaac wasn't real thrilled with the fact he was watching him bind him and put him on the altar. But he saw something in his father's eyes besides anguish. He saw a determination to obey God. Maybe as Isaac got older, Abraham was able to explain some things to him. I don't know. But I do know this. There are those of you in this building today that because of the lineage of your parents, you are serving Jesus Christ today. And you wouldn't think twice about coming to church on any given Sunday. You don't think about it. It's part of my life. My kingdom family matters to me. It's not so that God will check off the box. That's legalism. No, this is a relationship thing. Coming, can't wait, you know, not being able to wait to get up and don't worry. I wake up as tired as you do on any given. Do you notice that Sunday's the hardest day to get up? Does anybody else think that way? I think Sunday is the hardest day to get up. It just is. There were Sundays when I was the associate pastor at First Assembly. I'd roll over to Gina. I know, you know, do you think we could stay home today? I'm the senior associate. You think, I believe in transparency. You think we could stay home today? Gina says, you're the senior associate pastor. Oh, that's right. I'm not used to thinking that way. I was a hairstylist for 20 years, almost 20 years. You know, oh, that's right. That's right. Oh, God. You know what I'm talking about? I just think Sunday's one of the hardest days. But you guys don't think about it. You really don't. Because you're committed to God's principles. You're committed to God's family. By the way, this is the family that we're going to heaven with. This is the family we really will rejoice someday together. And we're going to be seriously looking at each other. And Randy and Tony are going to say to me, no more chairs. No more chairs. Oh, this is going to be so awesome. All the chairs float up here. They float. Oh, my God. No wires with PA systems. Pastor Mike's going to be thrilled. You know, he's going to have a totally wireless system. He's going to, by the way, if you think the gift of worship leader only ends here, wait till you get there and wait until you get into the new heaven and the new earth. Because those giftings, he says, he does not withdraw. Can you imagine the choirs? And I'm not talking about robed choirs. I'm talking about the tens of thousands and tens of thousands who will be in Pastor Mike's worship. That's just the worship team. I really do. I mean, think about what we see here. He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. I don't want to get into this whole teaching, but I happen to believe that He created it perfect the first time, didn't He? Or was He a liar? I mean, I got two of you shaking your head. Yes. I don't know. Did He create it perfect or did He lie to us? And He said, that's good. Everything He created, He said, was good. It was good. Man messed it up. Man ain't going to mess it up next time. Because He's going to be sitting on His throne. And there will be no need of presidential elections, liberals and Democrats arguing with each other, impeachment talk. Nobody's going to impeach Jesus. Right. Nobody. That was tried once. That was tried once. And Lucifer lost his position. There will be no impeachment. There'll be no even talking about who's in charge because Christ will rule and reign forever and forever and forever. And the blessing of your children and your grandchildren and your great-great-grandchildren will be that they're there because you were here in the kingdom and making kingdom decisions today. Father, I ask in Jesus' name, teach us, Lord, that when you ask us to go through what seems to be impossible things, that we will trust you in an ultimate way as Abraham did. Father, I can't even fathom that he was ready to do what he did. I'm honestly can't even fathom it, but I know, God, that the story is true, because there are those who know, they knew Abraham. They knew of the story of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and this great lineage and the promises of God. And all of those promises have come to pass. And yet, including Messiah. And yet, Father, we are still living under those promises. And we are thankful for that. Teach us your way and your will. And teach us, above all, to remain on the mountain of the Lord wherever you are, in Jesus' name. And every believer said,
we hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.